pie. I say that I agree. And that is to continue our QSO that I was not recording on Audacity at the time. I hung up the phone too.
Is out, stand by, America.
Oh, you have that sound just like CKLW, Windsor.
CKLW, Windsor. The Big 800.
CFOR, Canada.
Okay, let me try an experiment here, see if this works. Let's see. Try this.
This is WB4AIO.
It worked!
Remember, nothing but the sky covers Eastern America like WB4AIO.
It worked again.
Okay, everything is copacetic here at AIO. Except for my antenna.
Yeah, oh well, maybe you'll be stronger locally. Maybe your DX portion won't be as good. So N7ANL will suffer.
You know, I don't know. I really don't know what the pattern of this antenna is. The diagonal portion is kind of zigzag, and it shouldn't be zigzag, but it is. I hear a little RF in my audio, too. Hey, yeah, minor RF. That's changed. There wasn't any RF before. Anyway, the part that's normally going from the feed point, the base of the antenna, the elevated feed point, up to the vertical run, which normally runs up at a 45-degree angle, now runs at this crazy in this crazy zigzag way. That can't be efficient. And then I don't know what the horizontal portion at the top is. It's broken somewhere. It's probably hanging down at some acute angle. So I don't know what this antenna is. It's a it's not an inverted L. It's a distorted L.
Just remember, nothing covers the sky like WB4AIO. Hi there. And to JTT.
Oh, wow. You've got a live announcer. That's much better than my recorded one.
I just thought I'd come over. I heard the recorded one, and it sounded really good over the speaker.
Yeah, I'm listening to you on speaker instead of headphones. Probably there's RF in the headphones, but, well, I hope not. But, you know, what happens when it's dry weather? Over.
10-4. Hello to Laura.
And hello to you, Kevin. I bid you a pleasant evening. May the squirrels all be happy.
Yeah, yeah. Henriette is saying I'm putting out a smashing 100 watts of average power.
Yeah, you sound much better than Marty, Laura.
Okay, how about now? Now I've put on the afterburners.
No, no matter what you do, Laura's going to sound better.
Okay. I was at 14 power before, and now I'm at 18 watts. Roughly thereabouts, you know. Well, the setting says that. I guess it's really not 18.
It's somewhere in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
This is WB4AIO, the station with the golden tone.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Laura was just leaving the room with my phone, and she heard that and came back. Let's hear you give me. This is N2RJ with a golden tone. It's silver. Oh, the platinum. Well, any. I don't know what kind of tone. It's a beautiful tone. She's just smiling, laughing, and not doing it, so oh well.
Oh, you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Let me try to think of how to phrase it. Okay. This is N2 IRJ, the station with the platinum tone.
Yeah, that's good. A platinum tone is even better than a golden tone.
Yeah, if I said americium, probably people wouldn't understand that. Costs more money even than platinum. Yeah, if Mer wants radiation, she ought to get to know americium and a few other isotopes I had to work with. It's made nuclear reactors, and the amount of energy and money you have to put into it to make a gram of it is astronomical, you know, like millions of dollars at least, if not a billion. It also decays. It's not stable, so eventually it'll degrade into other things.
Yeah, and even better is paramecium.
No thanks. My intestines are fine without them. Well, actually, I'm thinking of amoebic dysentery.
Wow, that was a loud static crack.
Yeah. Oh, I never did go to Blitzer Tongue. Let me... 1 second.
Looks like there are some thunderstorms in western Tennessee, western Kentucky, eastern Illinois, and all over Indiana and southwest Ohio.
Yes, this is the front I was telling you about. Several hours ago, it was a horizontal line over Tennessee. Now it has risen northward to be over, Indiana? And also, it's just, there's a diagonal one now that's going from, I suppose, Arkansas or Missouri to the bottom of where I said before, Indiana or Illinois or in that region.
Yeah, I'm looking at Blitzer Tongue right now. I see all that.
Yeah, it's neat that I was able to tell you the evolution of it, how several hours ago it was just a horizontal line, maybe 200 or 300 miles south of where it is now.
You have almost no bass in your audio, by the way.
I'm glad you reminded me. I had intended to turn it back up. It's right now at the 12 o'clock position, which is the position you like most. The reason it was turned down, I did a phone call with my mother yesterday, and in anticipation, I figured, you know, if Vic and Harry can't hear it, then my mother, probably with her loss of hearing, won't hear me with all that bass anyway. So how does this sound?
Oh, that's much better. It sounds much more pleasant to the ear and much more like you now. It's much more round, more firm, more fully packed, more free and easy on the draw.
Let me temporarily go over and adjust it to where I do Liberty Nets, and you can tell me if it's too anemic. It's two cracks to the left. 1 second. Okay, N2IRJ, remotely talking, which I know you can't make any determination about until I'm up on the mic again. I'm setting it two scribes counterclockwise. Okay, I'm not two scribes counterclockwise, so my bass is reduced, but there still is some bass in there. Over.
I like it a lot better at 12 o'clock, but it sounds decent.
Okay, it's back at 12 o'clock. It also, I think, shows up on the Audacity recording. I did think that I sounded a bit tinny on the last recording, and it's because I forgot to put that pot up. I think it does show up on Audacity. I think you told me, right?
Yes, absolutely, it does.
Okay. I'll listen to myself. I do have Audacity running right now. And I will be able to also tell what you're hearing. But it's better over a distance because of the signal loss. You sometimes have to accentuate certain things a little bit more, as you well know, and then you can be perfectly received at the other location.
This is WB4AIO, WB4, Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus.
And this is Don Pardo, N2IRJ.
Wow, you have a recording from Don Pardo. I can't top that.
I only vaguely recall how he sounds. But, yeah, you told me about the guy who does.
In my opinion, WB4AIO spends way too much time on the radio.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look up around 4,005 megacycles, you'll see those two points going up and down. I think you told me that's space and dot or something. I forget what you phrased it as being. Mark and space?
Alternate frequencies of radio teletype transmission, frequency shift keying. One frequency is called mark and the other is called space in that mode.
I momentarily doubled for 2 seconds, and that's what I said, mark in space, yeah.
Yeah, that's radio teletype. It looks like they're both on at the same time, but in reality, they're switching quickly between them. And if you looked at it on a scope, it would just look like a continuous carrier.
Yeah, temporarily turned off my average function, and I could see what you mean. At least it was approaching what you said. I could see the way it was headed.
Yeah, I believe that's some kind of Navy transmission from the Hampton Roads, Virginia area, in the far southeastern corner of the state of Virginia.
Roger. Way, way in the distance, it sounds like there's someone probably off this frequency, but they're not copyable to me. And with all that, my noise floor is an S4, including whatever they're contributing. Probably my noise floor is more like an S3.5, but you're going up to S8. So let's see, four times six, 24 dB signal-to-noise ratio.
Well, that's not bad for a broken antenna.
You're right.
That's about as good as my signal-to-noise ratio. That's about as good as my signal-to-noise ratio over the blowers in this room.
Amen.
That means my blowers are equal with your noise if I stop talking. Let me stop talking. Yeah, well, it's about 26 dB down.
Yeah, the blowers are 4.25. And my noise floor is 4.
Let's hear it for the blowers.
I can't hear your blower over my blower. Maybe if I had my headset on. In fact, I think I'll do that just to find out if there's RFI. It would be beautiful if there weren't, because I don't feel like going outside. Hello, hello. I'm not getting any RFI right now. It comes and goes.
She comes and she goes.
Yeah, somebody else is on a nearby frequency since we started, but they're so low, I don't know if you even hear them. Speaking of being so low on this last net, survival net, I seemingly was the only one able to copy N7ANL in Northern Oregon. We even had a station in Ohio to stand in the shoes of Steve, NAWGM, and they couldn't pull them out either. So I relayed the message from Sevenland. This beverage does work. You'll hear that. You'll hear that on the recording.
Well, I'm glad to know I had a hand in raising it up into the branches.
I'm glad too.
I got a call from your ISP today, and I told them that they should stop using my number as a contact point.
Okay. It was for mine out here in Jersey, you mean?
Yeah. And I assume they eventually reached you at the correct number.
They never did. Gee, I wonder what they wanted. My speed still stinks.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, but they had an automated system. It was just an automated call, but I did not accept the message. I pressed the button to say this is the wrong number. So I thought for sure they would reach you, but maybe they did not.
They did not. Maybe I should call them. And on this note, I've been meaning to ask you, do you remember the date that Atlantic Broadband is supposed to show up at your house? Because I scribbled it down here somewhere and now I can't find it.
I think it was the 8th. I'm pretty sure it was the 8th.
Do you remember the time range?
No, I sure don't remember that.
Well, we could always call, or you could call and find out.
Serving millions from high atop the Alleghenies, this is WB4AIO.
Well, two can play this game. It sounds good to me, but certain times when I hear it on playback and Audacity, it sounds like I don't have pure tones. What do you think?
I think we analyzed it once. There is a little bit of distortion in the tones. It's not bad, though.
Someday I'd like to be perfect, tone-wise, that is.
It must be the program that generates it is not ultra-low distortion.
Yeah. It was a freebie off from the internet for Apple computers, decoding Morse code and all that, and it didn't work very well.
This entire station is a freebie off the internet.
Oh, my hat's off to you. Free is a good thing. Freedom is a good thing. What I'm saying is I even went to W1AW with a 30-over signal, and it couldn't decode very much of what they were even transmitting. And, you know, their timing is spaced properly and so forth. So this program just didn't cut it. And I tried varying volume inputs and everything. I did everything right.
Well, I can hear it come through just fine. It's N2 Italy Riddly Jiddly. It's unmistakable. And I know how to copy that Morse code. Boy, there's somebody that just came right on top of us there. Either that or propagation is changing rapidly.
Well, that's who I've been talking about since we've been in QSO for a while. The people just started up a QSO right next to us. Or in our band pass.
Yeah, it looks like they're just 1 KC down. That's awfully close to the big 95.
They're not talking right now. I was looking for their fingerprint. The static, yes, is indeed getting worse. About 3 hours ago, it wasn't this much. But as that storm front progresses, the one that used to be over Tennessee, coming up north now, I'm starting to hear it. So it gives me a feel for distance. When the United States is free of lightning and it's just over Cuba, I don't have a problem, or if it's far enough out in the Atlantic on 75 meters. But I have a feel now for how close it has to get before I start having troubles. Of course, multiple fronts, that presents a whole new dimension of trouble.
Well, yeah, and of course this particular storm system is in the main lobe of your receive antenna.
Oh, that's a good point.
You're pointed right at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when it's out at sea, the Atlantic Ocean, it can get as close as maybe 300 miles, and it doesn't hurt me. But this is more like at least 600 miles away, if not more, and it's starting to hurt me. Because that's where I'm listening.
Yeah, that's right. As the sun gets lower and lower in the sky, the loss between the storm sight and your sight will get much lower, too.
Oh, as nightfall approaches, you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah, it will propagate better, further. It'll be like a Scanlan TV. I wonder if the Lee goes through the bother of putting the two locations in to something akin to Google Maps and looks at the distance and if it's on another street, they say, well, at least it's not a next door neighbor, so maybe the person really is putting out harmful interference.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. I just changed one of my grounds around, hoping it would make the slight RF problem go away, but it stayed about the same. Darn it. I hate RF.
This Atlantic broadband thing coming up on the 8th, you might want to say to them something about what I said. I talked about a barrel connector, but basically what we need to do is have Ethernet going to your PC in an emergency where Wi-Fi doesn't work. There's no battery in Wi-Fi. There's a battery in the modem, but not in the Wi-Fi. So you could theoretically be left down. You need a way to be able to plug in an emergency. Also, according to Optimum Online out here, they're trying to blame my Wi-Fi for being the logjam. And they said they're not going to talk to me further really about the speed until I go downstairs with a laptop and plug right into the modem an Ethernet cable. Over.
Well, yeah, you should try that right away.
I guess I could take that one from the Apple into IRJ.
This is WB4AIO, and the hits just keep on coming.
I think that's going to be neat when you finally come on the air and bring your buddy with you.
What do you mean when I finally come on the air? I'm on the air now. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about in a LibertyNet venue or SurvivalNet or something like that.
Ah, but you can have more fun when you're not in a net. This is the real venue.
Roger.
You can make short transmissions, and you can mess around and be stupid and have lots of laughs.
Roger. What about Vox? Do you think you might set that up here sometime? I don't know. I think you say you don't like Vox, but if it's set correctly, it's amazingly fluid.
I absolutely hate it. I've never used it except at other people's stations, and I hated it then, and so I decided a long time ago I would never ever use it.
Well, I'd like to have it working just so I know how to work it, even though I might not use it. You know, I think Stan, is it KD or KB8IUU, you know, he has it apparently, because when people say things in between his sentences, he hears them. So apparently he's not keyed down with PTT.
Well, I'm sure it's adjustable. I'm sure we could set it up, no problem at all.
Yeah, if you get your controls set right, it's amazing how well it can work. I had an FT-101B originally, borrowed from my friend back in the 70s, late 70s. And that one I had set beautiful. You know, the anti-vox and the sensitivity of the gain, all the controls there. Oh, it's ID time, apparently. Back to you.
Yes, I'm pure push to talk. No Vox at WB4AIO. No Vox, no lids, no kids, no space cadets.
That's somebody else's statement. Who was that?
That was W2OY.
Speaking of 1x2 calls, I heard K2BU down on 3636 a night or two ago. And I think when I spoke to him up here, I think it was on his frequency, he didn't, you know, totally agree with my ESSB ideals. You know, I spoke about going wider, and he, I think, did 3.5, and when he was down in KC, and then when he was down there with them on, you know, 36, he also did the same. So I think that he actually was saying he was tightening up and narrowing up my signal or something, like to 2.8 or something. So I guess he really has a different taste than we do on it. Over.
Well, different people have different opinions on that sort of thing. I don't understand some of those opinions, but there they go. There they are. I think maybe are you operating kind of far from the microphone? Because sometimes your sentences are sort of trailing off in power.
Yeah, I hate to have to close talk this thing. Right now I'm about my hand's width away from the mic. I'm closer now. I was about a foot away before.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad when you're a foot away. You really need to be within a hand's breadth from that mic.
Okay. If I close talk it, I can tell on Audacity that I'm not sounding the way I should. For example, here's close talking the mic.
Well, that was a little bit excessive in the bass department, but it was much better than far away talking.
Then I'll try a compromise. Here's half a hand's length. And again, the gain isn't set up all that high. Well, it could be set a lot higher, but I don't want to get all that hissing.
I think a half a hand's breadth to a hand's breadth is about ideal.
Thank you.
I'm starting to see a trace of the German carrier.
Yes, I see it as well. Let me double check. Yeah, I'm on the beverage, and it's there, but I don't hear any modulation.
Yeah, I am mostly not hearing modulation, but there is, if I listen very carefully, there's just the faintest vague suggestion of modulation on.
If I switch to my vertical, I'd definitely hear it then, being 300 miles closer. It's hard to believe that small distance would matter, but it's over land, I guess. That's the reason. You know, out here, we really get hammered by it. Hopefully you had the opportunity to do that test, that A-B comparison between the vertical and my dipole, my beverage regarding the German station.
Yes, I did. I definitely could tell the difference.
Yeah, could you tell that I'm getting hit harder out here than you are?
Yeah, you are, definitely.
Yeah, Vic was wondering what the target audience was, and you had once told me that, but I forgot. Was it beaming possibly southwesterly or something like that?
I don't remember what the beam direction is, but I'm sure it's just intended for a European audience because it's low power.
Yeah, I run low power here too. Wish I could have lots of power.
Well, you're coming in at a full 20 over 9 now. The band has gotten a little bit better between our locations.
Yeah, my noise floor stayed at an S4, including the Yakkers who moved in on frequency. And your signal has increased to an S9. You're up to an S9 on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014, at 6:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, WB4AIO. And come on up to the microphone there, honey, and tell them what's really going down.
Remember, you can't spell ham without AM, and you can't spell radio without AIO.
I'm glad you played that particular spot because it mentioned AM. And I think that's exactly what Vic was transmitting in at the end of the survival net. That's why, another reason I allowed it to stay. He first was doing sideband, but then towards the end when no one would come back, he was zero beating the frequency, and I think it was maybe 20 hertz off. It was enough to come through my speakers, but it was really a neat test. And I told you that before about the 20 hertz thing. But then he came back, and I could hear his audio just fine. Like he almost as fine as if he were on sideband, but I could hear that beat note, so I think he was transmitting an AM.
Huh. Was he trying to start an AM QSO, or did he accidentally transmit an AM?
Oh, I don't know. Probably accidentally, or he just thought, what the heck, I'll make a bigger footprint, maybe someone will notice me, I don't know.
That's interesting. By the way, I noticed you changed your filter cutoff on the low end for your sideband filters to 10 hertz instead of 20 hertz. That's going to let tune-up carriers swamp your AGC more.
Okay. Gee, it might have deprived me of this Vic signal then, though. I wanted to be able to have his kind of heterodynes make it through.
20 hertz is not low enough for you? Good night.
Yeah, it probably actually can't even be heard. It's more or less felt. It's probably something above 20 when he was zero beating.
You really want to stress those subwoofers.
You know, I didn't go into the permanent menu settings or anything. It's just on the front panel here where it says negative 10 and going up to a negative 3969. It should be 3999, shouldn't it?
Yeah, sounds like you've been messing with those settings, or Murphy has.
Well, it's in the actual 4.0 button, you know, bandwidth on transmit. And what I'm talking about is below, which I think is variation 1 or variation 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not variable 1 and variable 2 necessarily. The low and high in those adjustment boxes will change when you press the different receive bandwidths. And so if it says minus 3969, that's incorrect for the 4.0K receive bandwidth button. It should be 3999, 1 hertz below 4000.
It should have filled in there automatically the correct thing, right?
Yeah, press 4.0K receive bandwidth again and see if it goes to 3999.
No, it's stuck at 3969. I could incrementally scroll it up, I guess, but I'm not in a variable, you know, bandwidth or whatever, you know, the VIR1, the VIR2. Oh, it won't let me do it. I'm trying to change it. It won't let me.
Yeah, you have to go in the menu and do it. It's only 30 hertz. I can do it when I visit you.
Yes, it changed itself. I really didn't go in there.
But you changed it to 10 hertz, right?
On the front panel here.
But I mean, you must have gone and changed it to 10 hertz on all those bandwidths, because if you switch to 4.0, 3.4, 3.1 on the receive, it's all at 10 hertz now.
You mean it truly shows me what I've selected? For example, I'll go to 5. Let me go to 5. Okay, I'm at 5 and it's reading 4999 with a minus 10. Okay, I'll come back to 4. Okay, here's 4. Actually, for the heck of it, we could maybe support 5. Let's try 5 for a second. I'll be without the equalization, and that'll be the beginnings of true ESSB. Okay, this is 5 kilocycles bandwidth N2IRJ.
Okay, I'm listening in 5, and I just switched the transmit profile to 5, so I'm now actually transmitting 5 also.
Very nice sounding.
And you're transmitting in 5?
I'm transmitting in 5. Oh, wait a minute. No, I lied. Now I'm transmitting in 5. So you should have noticed 2 changes. 1, the lack of internal equalization, and the fact that I have larger bandwidth.
Yeah, really starting to sound sweet now.
Transmitting from high in the mountains of western Pennsylvania, this is radio station WB4AIO.
More fidelity on her voice, too.
Yes, thank you, darling.
Now somebody's squawking up to an S7.
I guess that's what they're teaching in the in the radio schools these days. As long as you're if you're just 1 KC off, that's okay. You can transmit as long as you're not zero beat with another QSO. 1 KC off is just fine. Just fire right up. I hear a slight 5 kilohertz heterodyne. There's a broadcast station or some kind of carrier on 3990 also. It's not covering you up or anything, but I can definitely hear it in my headphones.
I hear it and I see it. And speaking of that, what did I want to tell you now? It's escaping me at the second, but I want to tell you something. You jogged my memory. Oh, yeah, 3990, the frequency. I went there for about an hour and a half, and I think I have a couple call signs. There's one major offender, and believe it or not, I think there's at least a secondary one, too, that has a Christmas tree pattern on the PAN adapter, who comes clear up to the Liberty Net on 3995. Even though he's on 3990, and he also goes down the same way, more or less.
Well, I have not really made a study of that group or anything, or that frequency, but I have noticed there's one station on there that actually he's a guy who has really nice frequency response. When you tune him in, he sounds great, but he has a lot of intermodulation distortion, and so his signal is unnecessarily wide.
That's the one, because I was just thinking, damn, he sounds actually kind of good, like he's tweaked things, that he knows what he's doing, but the IMDs, yeah, we're killing him.
It's just like you when you run that drive level up too high because you want more average power.
Yeah, it's back down to 14. Thanks for reminding me. It seems whenever you change a setting, it reverts back to the default that you programmed in. So let me be naughty and put it back up to 18. There, it's at 18.
Yeah, I saw a little bit more energy in the opposite sideband when you did that.
Uh-huh. Well, I might be sinful, or I might just need some AC2IQ-ism injected into my Flex 5000.
No, maybe that would be a nice thing to have, but that would not at all ever cancel out distortion from clipping in the Henrietta.
Is the Henrietta clipping now?
Probably not much, but a little bit, yeah.
Okay, I won't take you into the 20s then. Did it buy me anything in terms of loudness or signal strength?
No, I absolutely cannot tell the difference.
Even in loudness?
Nope, can't tell any difference to my ear.
That is logical. Well, look at that sideband. I'm at 18, and I'll knock it down to 16. There's 16. Did it go down any? I know, splitting hairs.
I think it did, and also there's an ever so slightly very faint difference in the quality of the sound in my headphone.
Okay, well, maybe I can leave it here, or maybe I need to revert all the way back to 14.
I'm going to look up and see what that station is on the broadcast carrier on 3990, if indeed it is a broadcast carrier.
Okay.
Well, supposedly there is a broadcast station on right now on 3990 15 kilowatts non-directional from Western China. I guess it's in Tibet, actually. And we do have a darkness path between Tibet and here right now. It's kind of a long path. I don't know, though. That carrier seems too strong to be from Tibet. I think my database is not accurate, and it's, there's some station that's on right now and that is not listed in this database.
I could do a quick test with my vertical and find out if it comes in stronger or weaker.
By the way, when you talk closer to the mic, the balance between your voice and the CWID is much better.
Okay. Let me receive on antenna one. I'll be right back. Okay, just like the German station, it comes up a lot. In fact, I can even hear the modulation, unless it's the German station I'm hearing the modulation of.
You tuned to 3990?
No, I stayed here. I just went to the vertical antenna, and it really made a big difference.
Stronger than the German station here. I don't know what it is. I kind of doubt it's 15 kilowatts from Tibet, though. That sounds like a real stretch.
Yeah, although you said it's all dark path. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. I guess the sun is going to come up in Tibet pretty soon. I guess that makes it gray line, because the sun is going down here, and the sun is coming up in Tibet. So it's conceivable.
WB4AIO.
On the ocean, modulated up to 9S9.
Okay, try that again.
WB4AIO.
That time 8.5. It's just a little QSB.
I listen to WB4AIO whenever I don't have anything better to do.
That time was 3/S9.
Wow, the band is changing. Wow, these filters are amazing in Power SDR. I just narrowed the bandwidth by just 50 hertz and the heterodyne disappears.
Maybe I should do the same.
Instead of $49.99, I went to $49.44 just by sliding the edge of the passband, and I cannot hear that 5 kilohertz tone anymore.
Yeah, I experimented. At first I thought I only had to move it maybe 30 or 50 cycles, but to totally eliminate it, I had to go from 9 to 4831. Oh, and my highs have changed. According to this, 158. We don't want that.
You must have slid the whole passband by mistake. Instead of just the edge. That's easy to do. There's two different hover symbols. When you hover over the edge, it's an arrow. When you go to hover over the whole passband, to slide the whole passband around, then it's like two triangles.
Apparently that's what I did do. I was trying to reset the high. It's showing -12. If I move it one click on the up-down, it goes to -2. I can't get anything in the middle. You know, I can't get 10. I can't get, well, maybe I could get 20. I don't know.
Well, -12 is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that really cleaned up that carrier up there. I like it.
Yeah, the filters in Power SDR are just unbelievable. It's like it's a whole different world than any analog radio I've ever used. No crystal filter, no mechanical filter can even come close.
It's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. You're either a one or you're a zero. And 3990 is not allowed to pass. Go and collect $200.
Yeah, you got that right.
Sounds like the invaders might have departed. It's been a little bit quieter.
I don't know. Every now and then I still hear a 1KC off voice, but maybe their spacecraft has drifted further west. I don't hear anything right now, though. Right now the frequency is perfectly clear.
Okay, my noise floor is 4 1/8, and your signal was 2/S9.
Not bad for a distorted L.
Yeah, you never know. You might be actually stronger locally this way. It might serve to your advantage for the net, at least on the East Coast.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true because I've lost the horizontal portion on the top, the high horizontal portion, and I've gained a zigzag close to the ground horizontal portion that's only like 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I say ideally go back to the way you had it, but for now you don't have to agonize.
Well, what I need to do is pull the whole thing out of that 70-foot-tall tree. Got to pull the whole thing down and shoot it up again. That's the only way to get to the end of the antenna to correct it. It's almost enough to make me go to copper weld wire.
You mean you think the wire failed?
I was using two pieces of wire, one for the antenna itself, and the other, instead of a rope, I actually used a piece of wire, and it was the piece of wire that went beyond the 150-foot point. In other words, the piece of wire passed the end insulator at the top of the antenna, at the top end of the antenna. That piece of wire that was being used as a guy wire, that piece of wire broke, probably during one of the recent ice storms.
Gotcha.
So, like I say, it makes me think that maybe because this antenna is in such a tangle of trees and branches, maybe this antenna is subject to much worse stress than it would be if it was only attached to two trees. And because it's going through the branches of so many trees that every now and then they can be moving in just the right set of directions and positions to super stress that wire.
Roger.
I wish I could get rid of the RF, though. This is really annoying me.
Back channel just sent into IRJ and CW. Yeah, that really is annoying. I'm amazed. It's not a wet day, and I don't have it at the moment.
Transmitting from the tropical wonderland of western Pennsylvania, this is radio station WB4AIO.
My static crashes are increasing from a 5 to a 7, and in between static crashes it goes to a noise floor of 4.25. The static has made up for the invaders. Before, when they were here, I think I had a lower noise floor, probably 3.5, and they're bringing it up to 4 or tad over. And it's back up there just by virtue of nature now.
Well, the background noise has come up here as well. It's almost S9, where before it was a little over S7. Back when the sun was high in the sky when we first started talking. But really, your signal's come up too, so it's pleasant listening. It's nice listening. You're way above the noise. No problems at all.
Yeah, you sound robust yourself.
That crunchy sound you hear in the background is being brought to you by courtesy of the ionosphere.
Thank you, Vic.
Yes, thank you, Vic.
Hi, diddly-dee. It's the Muslim life for me.
Oh, my goodness, the Muslim life.
Who dareth pass carrier? Is that you, Kevin?
No. I don't know who that was. Let's see what Tim thinks about it. Come on over to the microphone, Tim.
Hey, dummy, get a dummy load.
That's a good one to have on hand.
Yay, 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 hello. Your audio sounds fantastic.
Thank you, Tim Tron.
No problem, man. I've got a stoner here in the shack with me, too. Come on over to the microphone, Mr. Joe Stoner is his name. He's kind of shy. Come on, come right up here.
Oh, hey, like, Marty, like, that was, like, really cool, man, when you had that echo on your signal. Can you put that echo back, man?
Oh, it's there, a little.
No, like, I mean, like, that psychotronic, like, Skype echo, man. It was so trippy.
Yeah, that is courtesy of Microsoft Skype. I'd have to make a Skype phone call, I suppose, and maybe I could satisfy you that way.
Cool, man, gravy.
Oh, you just wait to the next Liberty Net. Well, the next Saturday Liberty Net. And listen in. Maybe it'll happen.
All right, man.
Did you remember to add coolant or water to your radiator?
No, I never did that. Guess I'll have to go buy some antifreeze.
Yeah, to be on the safe side, it might be a dilute solution for all we know, and you could freeze. But then again, it might be okay, and you could get away with just adding water. I just don't know. I don't have one of those hydrometers anymore to test.
If you did add water, is tap water acceptable?
The ideal is distilled, but in the real world, they just use tap water. People do. I use distilled, but who knows what the people did before you had that car, so tap water would be fine.
What about 7-Up?
Nah. It has sugar and carbon. It's carbonated too.
Things. I think I'm going to read up on how 7-Up is better than water.
I doubled with you. I said it has sugar in it, and the carbonation would have to eventually come out, and that's a pain.
I think it boosts your horsepower. It gives you gas, like 7-Up gives you gas. And what do cars run off of? Gas. Get it?
Well, not exactly. It's just like when Richie said he smelled gas. I think he said that. He really didn't. Gas is odorless. He smelled the mercaptan.
Is that like mercaptan, Kirk?
No, it's like, I think the brand name is Recapitan. At least maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago it was on WJAC in Johnstown. Some pranksters, teenagers or something, got a bottle of it and spread it around the city. And it's called Stingo or something like that. So they add the natural gas, I suppose propane too, to make it have an odor.
It's all part of the petroleum conspiracy.
Yeah, we're trying to make them stink even when they don't.
Yeah, well, you know, I've told you the secret fact that the oil companies don't want you to know, that cars don't need gasoline to run at all. I've told you that, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
They just put a slow leak in the tank so that you think the gas is running out, and then they've got some sort of relay interlock system so that it stops when the tank is empty. But really, if you bypass all that, it'll run perfectly well without gasoline.
Some of the guys on the net might buy into that, so don't talk too loud.
Well, it's all true. It's just when you turn the ignition key, there's a mechanical coupling that starts a flywheel, big, heavy flywheel turning at a high rate of speed, and that's what gives the power to the car, just your wrist action.
Yeah, somehow the balance of energy equation just doesn't cut it.
There's a secret power in the human body that has yet to be measured on any dynamometer.
Oh, there's the courteous carrier again. I think HLR needs to respond.
Hey, dummy, get a dummy low.
Beautiful. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Tune-up pulses.
Yeah, I was just about to report that. This is N2IRJ.
Maybe someone wants to join us. We're just kidding. We don't think you're a dummy. Go ahead and tune up. No problem.
Yeah, somebody just came here. Handling noise.
Hi there again. I hear someone talking like W-A-1-H-E-L-R. So, that's how you do good on that, Kevin. I was enjoying listening to that. And, of course, your recordings, your, the...
Be a little more close.
Okay, maybe this is better. Anyway, that's about it. November 2, Juliet, Tango, Tango.
Wow, N2JTT, WB4AIO, you sound fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
She used to sound really nice on our recorder about 30 years ago. I wish I would have... Maybe I did save it.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Well, she couldn't possibly sound better than she sounds now.
Then I better get her recorded soon.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, the Timtron is on the freak.
Lola Bell is laughing.
You're sounding FBOM.
Fine business, old man.
I was just running the 811 rig and I'm feeling fine.
Yeah, maybe conditions aren't quite strong enough tonight, but we could always sometime try AM, Kevin. I'd be willing tonight even. I do suspect that we'd be spread too thin, but we could try it.
Well, maybe we'll do that sometime when you gain the knowledge of where all the tune-up settings are down in the AM part of the band. I don't really want to do it up here.
Roger. Yeah, I do have to get around to exercising Henrietta down there, find out the settings, make a tuning chart.
Yes, that would be fine business. To hell with this slop bucket stuff. Sound, it sounds yellowy.
I wonder if he really means it's just not bright and clean, or if he's referring to the rice box factor.
It's AM or nothing, Marty. That's the way I see it.
Oh, Timothy.
I was on Slop Bucket once in 1969. Never again. I heard the audio and I was yellified.
Yeah. Well, at least you were conserving Cuntrant.
You speak my language, O.M.
Roger.
Well, I guess it's 2 hours till net time.
Oh, boy, how time creepeth upon us. I guess I should let you go and rest up a little, and it was really nice having Kisa with you here. And not to end on a bad note, but I have still not replied to the SMAs. I might do that. I think there was an email a while back in December saying that they wanted 5 more cuttings. And I forget what they're charging a piece. Was it $25? They upped the price, remember?
Yeah, I don't remember, so I couldn't tell you. But if you want me to do it, you know, just I could, you know, you could buy a cheap lawnmower and I could push it around. And then, of course, it would take a while to pay for itself, but eventually it would pay for itself.
Yeah, what about that other idea where you said they would cut it, but you would pay them?
I'd rather do the physical labor because I'm so poor.
I see. Well, I wouldn't want to stick you with a piece of junk. I was going to put in the email to them that, you know, they could just get the money straight from you, and you would only have it done once a month.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, lawnmowers anymore aren't inexpensive. For example, the Honda that I bought years ago for here was over $1,000. And I even got a tax exemption because it was out of state. I had it sent from Pennsylvania, where I used to work. And it's because of the United States government's mandate on having a brake on the blade. Before that complexity, mowers were cheap. And I wonder if there's some way I could get a non-USA version lawnmower, just like General Country's radios, where it's free and doesn't have all this extra weight and heaviness and clutch mechanism and all this. Oh, my God. It's god-awful. And it's not positively reliable either. I have a Toro mower here, and sure enough, the system's screwed up. The engine will start and run, but the blade won't turn. And it'll be very expensive to get fixed if you can even get the parts. So my solution would be, if I ever do resurrect it, to just weld it together, and then the blade will turn all the time, the way it should have been in the first place.
Yep, I suppose you could homebrew something like that, or you could even get an antique mower and refurbish it, and then it wouldn't have any of those modern features that are so difficult to deal with when they break.
Yeah, it would be hard to find one by now, the way people treat small engines. According to them at the lawnmower shop, nowadays they don't even rebuild carburetors as they did in my day, and as I did a lot. They're made of plastic. They say you just throw them away and put a new plastic carburetor on.
I remember getting a lawnmower from Sears for about $120 in around 1980, and that thing worked fine for a long time.
Well, you would be getting exercise, and you do want to do that to impress Murr with your physique, so maybe that would be the better way.
Yeah, and I guarantee you I won't use Roundup on the lawn.
I know. Does any of that distortion come over the air, or does it sound like a pure sine wave at your QTH?
It's not perfect. It sounds sort of like a generated sine wave, but it's okay. WB4AI.
I wonder how we could someday make a perfect CWID for me.
Well, it's probably never going to be perfect because the processing and clipping will add some components that weren't there, but we could probably filter the recording to make the recording extremely pure. That probably could be done.
This is radio station WB4AIO, transmitting on this assigned carrier frequency.
Yeah, that would be fun. And as time goes on, and we strive for perfection. It reminds me of the other night on 3636. Gary was performing a two-tone test after everyone left the air in the middle of the night. And I was watching the two tones, and I guess you want them to be the same amplitude. But it must have been QSB. Sometimes the bottom one was higher, the lower frequency, and other times the other one, the 1900 was higher instead of the 700. It was just, they would alter it. But overall, they were the same. I could tell they really were the same much of the time. But is that selective fading?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You know, when I read about selective fading decades ago, I never realized. I questioned it. I was wondering, I mean, geez, a signal is so narrow in the first place. How could it differentiate, you know, an audio frequency nonetheless? We're talking megahertz here, you know? And yet it's true, apparently.
Yep, it's definitely true. The propagation of HF signals is extremely chaotic, really. It's chaotic. We're reflecting off an irregular surface, which is constantly in motion, and the height of that surface varies in a complex way, and it's constantly changing. It's sort of like if you could imagine reflecting a laser, you know, off a cloud, except the Kennelly-Heaviside layer is clouds that you can't see, but it's sort of like, you know, the bottom surface of a cloud. It's constantly changing its shape. It's irregular in shape to begin with, and as you, if you aim two lasers, closely spaced, two lasers at that cloud and tried to reflect them off the cloud, you'd find that the paths were not identical. Well, it's the same with HF radio waves and the Heaviside layer.
Makes complete sense. By virtue of their different frequency, they really do propagate differently. Or should I say they're different wavelength? They're physically different.
That is right. And you get more of that sort of effect on the lower bands than you do on the higher bands. And that's because for any given spacing, say 2 kilohertz spacing between two waves, the difference is a greater percentage of the total when you're on a low band than when you're on a high band.
Yes. I've heard some pretty intense selective fadings years ago on medium wave.
Oh yeah, and on 160 also. You can. There are sometimes when you're listening to an AM QSO, and the carrier will fade out for like 15 seconds.
I have seen that phenomenon.
But the sidebands are still coming in strong.
I can't remember. What do you hear, if anything?
Oh, a very distorted version of the audio. If you're listening on a diode detector. I guess if you're listening on a synchronous detector and there's still enough carrier to make the sync detector lock in, then you don't hear any distortion.
Yeah, my recollection was just quiet and distorted. But it would vary, like you said. There's another tuner-upper.
I think somebody has moved in on 93 as well.
In keeping with good amateur practice.
Transmitting from high in the mountains of western Pennsylvania, this is radio station WB4AIO.
The female voice really does penetrate, at least to my ear, so much better.
Yeah, anything is better than my voice, I'm sure.
Oh, don't say that, but the frequency mix... I don't know if it's laws of physics or if it's psychological or both.
I don't know. Probably both.
Static has increased almost to S5.
Yeah, some of the crashes are 15 over on my meter.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the floor. The actual crashes are approaching S8.
Here comes the summertime.
In this last survival net, Jim, who's only, 50 miles from me maybe, he could not hear the Seven Land Station, and the Seven Land Station could not hear him. But fortunately, I was able to bridge the gap both ways.
That's why they call it the Radio Relay League.
Correct. By the way, I think they changed the name about 5 years ago, and they're trying to evolve us into speaking their new name, but oh, guess who just came by? Okay, take it over.
Okay, into JTT here. Kevin, I was just wondering.
Speaking to the mic.
Okay. That song by Calm Truths, it's called Climax. I know it's spelled with a K. Does it have a Y in it? Can you spell it for me again?
I think it's K-L-Y-M-A-X-X.
Okay, I wrote that down. Now I'm going to look that up. Thank you. Well, I'll go ahead and say 7-3 for now. But I really enjoyed talking with you all. So this is N2JTT saying bye-bye for now.
Okay, Laura. Great to hear you. Yeah, that's the only place I've seen that song is on YouTube. It may be available other places too, but that's where I saw it, was on YouTube. So if you just do a search for Calm Truths, Climax, I'm sure you'll find it. And great to talk to you. 73, good luck in the contest. N2JTT, WB4AIO, saying bye-bye.
So long for now, Kevin. And I'll check that out. Okay, November 2, Juliet Tango Tango, signing out.
She was talking about 8 inches from the mic, and it wasn't directly in, it was at an angle. How was it?
It was pretty good. The Aphex processor is doing its job.
Yep, and I can attest to that too by the green lights. I'm not going all the way down, but I'm going at times 80% down. There are times that if I close talking enough, I guess I could go down the whole way, light the whole thing up.
You're lighting the whole thing up at this end.
I think this is a comfortable operating spot then. I'll not sound bloated on the Audacity recording either. If I get too close to the mic, it might sound slightly better for you, but like you said, it brings out the bass, and it also sounds a little bit fat on the Audacity recording.
Well, I would say that right now you're sounding perfect.
Okay, I know how to duplicate it then.
That's right. You can duplicate it. Then I will never know if I'm listening to the real N2IRJ or a perfect digital copy.
We're talking AIFF or WAVE, baby. No MP3.
You could just set a back file to make infinite copies of your station, and then as I tune down the dial on 75 meters, no matter where I tune, I'll hear N2IRJ.
You know what? The band is starting to fade momentarily. Probably my signal, you're noticing that too.
Well, the fading is up and down a 10 dB range, but even when you're at the bottom of the range, you're still 100% solid high signal to noise ratio.
Well, your little fingers are to blame.
My fingers are to blame?
Yeah, it was your little fingers hooked to your brain that created this scenario here.
Far out, man.
Well, it would be nice if Vic Trolla tuned in early, but he'll probably tune in late. He probably is finishing up with Sue and won't get back until later. Maybe he'll come in after the net.
Transmitting from high in the mountains of western Pennsylvania, this is radio station WB4AIO.
Thanks for telling me about the Optimum online call. Maybe I'll phone them. I don't feel like it, or maybe I should just wait until tomorrow. Maybe it was a follow-up call asking how do I like their service or something. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Could be as simple as that. Well, this is fun having a QSO outside of the formal net. It's just like old times.
I agree totally. It is.
I'm starting to hear the modulation from the German broadcast station.
Fortunately, I don't. Not yet.
But you're 20 to 30 dB over their carrier, and you're probably way more than that over their audio, so it's not a factor. It's just sort of a little background sound, like crickets, sort of.
We can have loud ones out here in Jersey, probably where you live, too. Even with the windows closed, I can watch my power meter go up when the crickets are at their height in the summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can get pretty loud here, too, especially in the backyard. Probably if one is going to be recording a voice track in this room, you have to sort of time it to a time of day when the crickets are inactive during that time of year, which would be like September.
Well, you have a lot of constraints on your program, but you still pull it off with a great signal-to-noise ratio.
Yeah, I try. I try to do well. I do use the noise reduction algorithm that's built into Audacity. That does help take away some of the computer's own noise.
Wonder if there's such an algorithm built into the streaming. Because sometimes I think I sound better. I can hear myself better there than I can on the direct recording. But it's so subtle, it's hard to say.
No, I don't think there is. I think it's just MP3 encoding, which probably adds a few artifacts, but no noise reduction.
Why don't we use that for my original recordings then?
Well, we do. They're encoded in MP3 format, too.
I mean this noise reduction function you spoke of.
It's really no good except for taking out a very, very, very low-level hiss or very, very tiny amount of noise. And it's an after-the-fact thing. It's not real time. You have to do it after the fact. Also, it would act strange, I think, on band noise. You wouldn't want it on that part of the recording.
I was thinking maybe this would be some way I could hear N7ANL better on the final recording that's posted.
No, it's really for taking out that last little bit of a hiss or a tiny, like, way in the background computer fan in the distance kind of thing.
Okay. Oh, what if we just set it to a low setting and let it do that? It would theoretically be better. Maybe you wouldn't be able to hear it, but it's there.
I don't know. I don't recommend it. It would take a long time on a long recording, too. Do you really want to add to the time it takes? I think it would sound bad on HF radio. It would do things you wouldn't want it to do. It's really not made for that purpose.
Understood. Yeah, it is a lot more work. I thought I would just suggest trying it to find out and then decide, you know, I would probably decide, yeah, it is too much work, especially if it really didn't help or degraded things.
Yeah, I think you want your receiver recording to be a perfect reproduction, as perfect as you can make it of what the signal is like at the receiver's detector. That's my opinion.
Mine as well, into IRJ.
My favorite radio station is WB4AIO.
That Carrier was 39.93 and a 7 kilohertz. I didn't hear it at all when your ID came on, though. You covered them up.
That's my goal, to cover them up. WN2IRJ. This is WB4AIO.
Did you hear it?
I hear some digital click, click, clickety clicks right now, but I heard the carrier, you know, 30 seconds ago, but I don't hear it now.
Correct, that's the one.
You know what I haven't heard all night? It must be off the air, but I haven't heard the Boston Buzzy at all.
Neither have I.
Heard they blew out their final tubes.
Yeah, maybe they did. And what about the clicker, the double click? I'm not even hearing it. You know, the one that originates from around above four megacycles?
You're right, I do not hear that now either. Not a sign of the clicker. What's the world coming to?
Man, I don't know. It could be a good life. No clicker, no Boston Buzzy, no Scanlan, no Flaubert. By the way, I wanted to refresh it, and I think I did. But it looked similar, and it confused me. I finally hit shift and then clicked on the return arrow in the browser window. And I think that's correct. You told me shift, or is it control?
What do you mean, for a hard reload of a web page? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, a hard reload.
Yeah, you hold down the shift key and hit the reload button on the browser, and that will force it to reload everything, including all images, even if they were cached before.
Okay, I'm yawning. Do you understand yawnish? The storm has changed its shape. It is perfectly horizontal over Indiana, the southern part, and then there's a 45-degree angle one that has separated from it, which is larger, still over northwestern Tennessee.
Well, thank you for the thunderstorm report. It sounds like it is slowly moving towards us.
Just in time for net time, eh?
I guess so. Well, as we all know, all of the net participants are running a kilowatt or more to highly efficient antennas, so there will not be any problem.
Well, I noticed that on 3950.net, you did what I did in the letter to Flo. You sugarcoated it. I wonder who's going to read between the lines and say, this means I'm supposed to get a signal, damn it.
Hopefully everyone understands that. However, sometimes economy and real estate conspire to make it difficult.
I know.
I'm using a crappy antenna right now. It's all messed up, but amazingly, it seems to be working pretty well. Just by chance, maybe. I'm lucky.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
It's the Zigzag L.
As time goes on, we'll have to perfect 41 meters, and I'll be able to judge how you're coming in compared to the other guys, how they used to come in from Johnstown.
You mean you're going to compare me to the dead guys?
They probably are now, because I don't hear anybody on 7284 anymore. And they were there for decades.
Yes, indeed. 7284 is too close to the AM window for slop bucketers.
Yeah, that was said before up there, years and decades ago. They had their clashes. Also, those Johnstown guys were termed to be LIDS, and I forget who it was, but I was operating remote from Virginia. I was in Bedford, Virginia, I think, and in that vicinity, and I was on my TS-440S with a dipole resting on the floor, but it was something like a three-story building. Family reunion get-together at Noah's Ark, something like that. And it was in the wilderness, hundreds of acres, so I didn't have to put up with neighbors, noisy appliances, and so forth. But anyway, I was calling the guys back in Johnstown from that location, and normally they would come back to me. And they did eventually, but before they came back, this other station broke in and said that he wouldn't even talk to them because they're a bunch of lids. He said they use a kilowatt to talk over the street to each other. And he said that they can't even get their frequency right, which I know what he means. It turns out that when I first went on there decades ago, I was told by them that we don't operate on 17.284. We operate on 7284.1. That you always want to make it go up a little bit more than what the reading says. And back then I was perplexed, but I kind of went along with it. But now I recognize that they were simply compensating for some inadequacy in their own radios.
I admit I don't understand that, but okay. WB4AIO.
Yeah, the one guy in Johnstown really did a number with my noise blanker. And I think the noise blanker freaks out if you're a little overmodulated, and he was.
Well, my experience with noise blankers is that they freak out on any signal that's not like S1.
My Yaesu has a really nice noise blanker. It's progressive. If you turn it on and there's truly a blankable signal, even at minimum setting, it will totally eliminate it, and it won't hurt the audio. I know it's hard to believe, but if you start turning it up, the slider control, the volume control, for more, you know, increased weighting on the blanking, then yeah, you certainly can hear. If you turn it up all the way, you can't hear again because you're blotting out the signal. N2IRJ.
You're listening to WB4AIO.
Yeah, I never heard back from AC2IQ, and apparently he's been missing in action too, according to the 3636 guys. They don't know where he's gotten the last few weeks. He hasn't been on the air with them, they said.
Maybe he's high on a mountain peak in Tibet talking to a guru.
Maybe, or he's very busy with his work, or he's going through the waves, the troughs and crests of life.
Could be.
Heard those guys speaking that SD, the Flex people know about the circuit, and they're working on a circuit of linearization for their 6700.
Oh, that's great. It's going to clean up the band.
Yeah, I have a little anxiety about that email I sent him. In it, I said he went down to negative 51 on his upper sideband, but I was basically taking his word for it because it was actually going into my noise floor. But I did have an exceptionally strong signal on him that day, which might have been as high as 40... pushing it to say 45, but and so in theory I couldn't have really told him that, so I might have looked like an idiot.
Well, when he gets back from Tibet, perhaps he'll give you an answer there. WB4AIO.
That would be nice. Hey, regarding Flowbeer's speakers, and he says that he hears me even when I'm unplugged. When they're unplugged, does that mean that if I went to AM with the carrier that I have available to me, that I could just speak to him directly? Like, maybe I could, instead of giving him right now, he's probably hearing us speak, or me speak at least, but it's distorted. I could rectify for him, and since he won't answer his telephone, I could get him that way. Just talk to him directly. It would be like the heavens speaking down to earth.
Well, that actually might work. That might work. If you transmit at AM and it's a rectification situation, it would be like a diode detector, and your voice would be perfectly copyable and understandable.
Yeah. I'll have to try that sometime, maybe, and try to convince him to meet me halfway, at least. I think I told you this story before. At my mother's place, directly behind it is my grandmother's place. She sold the house, though, so it's no longer ours, but I grew up in that house. And anyway, I had an antenna on the roof there, which was a CB antenna, vertical, maybe 5/8 wave or something like that. And it had real big radials and everything. I had another 5/8 wave up in Johnstown, in Geistown, but it was a polecat. It only had radials about 3 feet long, three of them. But the point is this. I was on AM, I suppose. I thought operated sideband, but it must have been AM. Because all of a sudden, my mother comes storming in the house over at that other location right behind the house that you know of now. And she said, "Turn it off, turn it off. You're coming over the church speakers perfectly loud and clear. And your voice is completely recognizable." And she was freaking out. And at the time, I was on the air, I think, talking to somebody. Well, I know I was talking to somebody, and I was saying, yeah, I'm just laying here in bed in my underwear, but it's enjoyable having a CUSO with you. And that went over the church loudspeaker to all the parishioners in church, and they abruptly turned the system off.
That's pretty funny. I wonder if it was really loud, too.
According to my mother, it was. She darted out of there and came home. And freaked on me.
Can you imagine that? Her own son wearing underwear. I mean, such a thing to be heard by the other parishioners. Oh, my God.
Apparently, Laura's listening in the room. She's starting to cackle, too.
This is WB4AIO.
I didn't stage that. It just happened to come on exactly then.
What a coincidence. Far out.
Yeah, I guess we'll do 3885 first, but eventually we'll perfect both of our stations for 41 meters. And then we can go to 7295 or thereabouts. And boy, I sure hope that we don't have RF problems. If we do, I hope we can get them rectified, because I'd like to have at least the bottom three bands RF free. In fact, the last four, I'd like to have 20 meters not give me grief either.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did have an RF-free situation with the Ameritron all the way up to 17 meters, so maybe it's doable with the tube amp, too.
Oh, I think that might have been transmitting from my vertical, or did you hook it up momentarily to my 20-meter beam on the roof?
On 20 meters, we were on the beam. On 17 meters, we were on the vertical, and we found that that vertical, at least the way it was configured when I tested it, gave a quite good match on 17 meters.
Yeah.
Of course, if we go changing it around and improving the ground system, we might lose that. I don't know.
At the moment, I guess I'll allow sleeping dogs to lie. There's no RF in my headphones. And maybe it's, you know what, maybe if it's perfectly dry, I don't have a problem. And if it's perfectly wet, I don't have a problem. It's the transitional phase where I have the problem.
That could be.
Somebody moved in and they're giving me over an S9. Yes, the frequency is in use. And thanks for asking.
Maybe that interference is part of the challenge.
I think they're probably 3993 people.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's exactly what it is.
Somebody's zero beating and tuning up on 3995. Oh, the guy just moved up. I hope I didn't offend him. It was really close. You know, it was like a 20 hertz tone I heard. That's all.
My filters are better. I heard no tone. None. Zero.
Well, what do you say we sign for now, let others have the frequency, let me rest a little, even though I probably don't deserve it, but I'll get ready for the recording tonight.
Yeah, break.
Come on in, break.
I just have a question for you and Kevin about the chat room.
Roger. Kevin, you tell him I have hassled you on that. But I'm going to let Dez speak to you directly. KB8UIJ N2IRJ here.
I try to click on it with a touch screen in my smartphone, my iPhone in this case. I can't click the link. It doesn't open my browser. So I don't know what's going on, if I need to download some app, or if there's some kind of debugging at your end, which would enable an iPhone user to click on links that people put on the chat stream. I'm interested to know whether you know, Kevin, why iPhones will not do it. I presume other people would have complained to you if they couldn't click on the links from their desktop computers, or maybe they just cut and paste, I don't know. But I can't even cut and paste, you know. I can just do screen captures or you know, just physically transcribe it onto a piece of paper and then, you know, type the whole thing in myself. So what's up with that, Kevin? WB4AIOKBDYJ.
Yeah, okay. That does sound really annoying. I have not received any complaints, but I presume that other people have the same problem. All I do with that discussion room is I create a block of code, that draws the necessary data from another server. So I can't change anything in the way that data is configured. I don't have control of it. We subscribe to a service that creates the chat room. but the people who provide the service have their own servers. It's not served from our server. They have their own servers, and they control the software. They control the application on their servers. So there's nothing I could change to make it work with an iPhone, but I can tell you the company is RumbleTalk. And if you hold on a second, I think it's just rumbletalk.com. If you go there, probably you can inquire with them as to if there's any app or any workaround that can make the links work for you. But if you hold on a minute, I'll see if that is indeed the URL of the company that provides the discussion room, WB4AIO.
Yeah, I'm already on their website, believe it or not.
Yep. Yeah, you found that before, Des. By the way, I doubled with you in the beginning a little, and essentially I was telling Kevin that I indeed told him about your repeated requests about the link clicking problem. And anyway, I got the same answer you just got, but at least you got to hear it firsthand.
All right. Kevin, that's kind of strange. In the chat room, when I cursor up and down to go backwards and forwards chronologically through the chat screen, it's very hard to do with the iPhone because the tiniest upward swipe with my thumb, I mean the tiniest upward swipe of my thumb, causes the screen to just totally race out from under me to the very bottom of the screen. You know, and the tiniest downward stroke or swipe of my thumb, and the thing just roars all the way down to their first posting that the stream captures. So it's very dicey, very sensitive, very tricky to get the message as scroll through the chat. Because you want to see what people have been chatting about for like the previous hour, it can be very difficult. Because it's like a gear ratio thing. With a normal touch screen, when you wipe it up, you move the web page up exactly as much as your thumb is moving. But when you move your thumb up with the chat screen goes up like, I don't know, 20 times faster than your thumb goes up, something like that.
Wow, it sounds like they have some serious problems with iPhone compatibility. I would suggest you write to them. I'm looking at their website right now, and I'm not seeing an email, but somewhere on their site there must be here it is, contact. It's way near the bottom. If you hit on contact near the bottom of rumbletalk.com, it opens a contact form. And I think they probably would be happy to answer your question about both of those problems. I'm sorry I can't help you, but it's just something we get from another server, and I can't really... I mean, I can modify the color, I can modify the background image, I can modify things like that, but I can't change any of the basic code, WB4AIO.
Okay, fine. Well, all right. I don't know. My instinct tells me it might be more appropriate for you as a subscriber of this service to talk to them yourself if they have an 800 number or something.
Okay, I'm willing to do that. Probably not this week, though. I've got I'm playing hooky talking to Marty here, I'm embarrassed to say it. But I do have a lot of deadlines this week, but probably I can do that eventually, sure.
Yeah, no, I think it would be more appropriate because you know the system better. It's a little bit weird, but you know the system better. I'm sure you know computers better than I do. And would have more intelligent questions to ask and might think of follow-up questions. But as far as I know, you don't have an iPhone and may or not have ever operated a friend of yours' iPhone. So you're not in a position to have the sort of questions and interests that I have. But they've probably heard the same complaint from other people before. And I should check that Rumble Talk another time just to see if maybe an iPhone app needs to be downloaded for Rumble Talk for it to operate more appropriately. That could be. I just don't know.
Okay, I'll ask them. Right now, nobody I know has an iPhone. My girlfriend had an iPhone for a while, but she got rid of it because she was running up the expenses too high, and she wanted to go to a cheaper phone. But so I can't even test it with her phone anymore. Sorry about that.
Do you have an iPod Touch, maybe?
Nope. The only computers in this house are a PC laptop and a PC desktop.
Okay, because an iPod Touch has, I think, the same operating system as the iPhone. It's the same size. It's just it doesn't have a telephone in it. It has everything else the iPhone has except the telephone. So I assume its browser would be the same. An iPad would have a different browser, I think, and of course a Mac would have a different operating system almost entirely from that of an iPhone, although some of the architecture would be very similar among all those Mac operating systems. Okay, well, I do appreciate that, Kevin. Whenever you can schedule a discussion, and you probably have my contact information anyway. You can get it from Marty or QRZ.com. And, hell, even the three of us can have conference call, you, me, and the service person at Rumble Talk. We can even arrange a three-way via Skype or telephone in the next week or two. I would like to get to the bottom of this mystery at some point. And it would enable them to click on links. I mean, a lot of them don't interest me, but some of them do. And usually if someone includes a title along with the URL link to click on, I just Google search the title and then come up with the same article, you know. But, you know, it should work and it doesn't, and so it's just rankling me. That's all, Kevin. Anyway, Marty, I guess you're going to retire from the frequency yourself. I got the impression you were. And, well, I'll be listening along anyway. KBH United Yankees, and Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hope my copy is reasonable in both your QTHs.
Yeah, it's reasonable. It's not your rock-crushing signal. Maybe your amplis or the band's just not formed yet. How are you receiving him, Kevin, N2IRJ?
Your voice doubled.
Yeah, I doubled with you, Marty. I said he's 15 over 9. He's a little bit weaker than you, but still a real nice signal.
Yeah, he's normally a strong signal here, but the band conditions are such that he's a moderate signal. Your amplification, is it on or off?
Your crap signal, Marty, your signal is crap. I am running power. I'm running full bore. I'm tuned up. I'm tweaked up. I'm perfect. Oh, yeah, I got to be peaking, probably 700 watts, at least five. Let me look at my smoothed average. Just talking to you right now, my smoothed average power is 300 straight up.
Yeah.
And conditions must be lousy because I get much better copy on you normally, and the boys and girls on 3993 are pushing my AGC all to hell as well.
Yeah, we were on frequency long before they, and yet they came in. They invaded.
Well, it's kind of hard to hear people 2 kc's below you in the way that it's easy to hear the monkey squeaky chatter 2 kc's above, you know, or, you know, vice versa for lower sideband, you know what I'm saying. But that might account for some of it. But yeah, otherwise just QSY to 96. If the 96 upper people are on the air, yeah, just use 96 lower. That ought to work.
Yeah, well, I can do is an online switch. You wouldn't be able to know this with the radio you're on, but Kevin and I have been here the whole time in ESSB. We're at 5 kilohertz bandwidth, and it sounds better than an FM repeater. I can go back to 3. Right here is 3 kilohertz, so I'm giving you a slightly higher power density at the expense of fidelity. Over.
Yeah, roger all that. You're running your flex, then, eh?
Yes.
Okay, cool beans. Cool frijoles. Yeah, I was just talking to the boys on 20 a few minutes ago in Florida and Panama, exchanging pico de gallo recipes and swapping stories about life in Panama. That was fun. We show up, just for the record, Marty, around 5:36 p.m., and we quit at about 8.
Where, what frequency?
The spiderweb frequency I don't want to mention.
Okay.
Not to exclude Kevin. Don't misunderstand, Kevin.
I'll try not to misunderstand.
Well, you can shoot him or email him the frequency, Marty. It ain't that, you know.
I know the spiderweb frequency anyway.
Okay, well, if you know the spiderweb net frequency on 20 meters and you know what I'm talking about, then that's fine. American expats, you know, in Central and South America and all that.
Yes, I received your latest email, Des, where you were speaking of expats and you were saying about that Sevenland station being in Mexico. Does he sign with Virgil XE or what?
Yeah. X-ray Echo 1, Fraction Bar, Nancy 7, TDK, yeah.
Oh, they do it as a prefix then, okay.
Yeah, usually. Anyway, nice guy, lives 4 miles north of Cuernavaca. I used to live 20 miles to the east of Cuernavaca for an entire year in Tepoztlan de Morelos.
Well, this N7TDK got lucky with his call sign, the world-famous TDK company. And I mentioned this to my friend who also got that call sign. Hers is KB2TDK. And she never had a clue as to what I was talking about when I said about, are you a good quality cassette?
Yeah. Nah, this is killing me, man. Killing me. This is Monkey Chatter from 903. Anyway, Kevin, you're going to leave anyway. Marty's going to leave anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to try to rest up before the recording of the survival net at 10 p.m. Eastern Local Time, which is Eastern Daylight Savings Time now.
Into a little bit of that myself. It's 8:56 now. I gotta check my rice, boys and girls. I have to check my rice, just see what's going on with it. Because I'm sort of in the middle of cooking a bunch of junk right now. I sort of went off on a cooking tear after discussing recipes. It seems, turns out a lot of the spiderwebbers are sort of gourmet cooks. The 65, 70-year-old men really love to do their thing, and they're good. They know what they're... It's a good talk. Good, intelligent conversation there. Better than political conversation with that crowd for 73, both of you, WB48 N2IRJ, KB8UYJ, now clear.
73, and good luck with the beans.
Roger, thanks.
Yeah, bean fest to you, N2IRJ.
Okay, Marty, I'm back barefoot again, so all right, I'll see you pizza down the log page. Maybe I'll be, I don't know if either of you is going to be on air for the survival thing. I don't know if I'll bother to say anything either, for that matter. I found an interesting survivalist website, actually, yesterday that the net might appreciate, so I might forward that along. Yet another reason for me to get this chat room thing resolved. All right, 73 both of you, KB8UIJ clear.
Yes, I believe in an Apple-friendly world.
Yeah, Marty, it's not the survival net tonight, though, unless I'm in some sort of a drug-induced haze. It's the midweek Liberty net.
That's right. That was my bad, Kevin. That was my bad. If anybody's in a drug-induced haze, it's me. The drug, of course, being caffeine. I drank too much. I drank one cup too many too late in the day yesterday. I could not get to sleep until 6 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up at 10:30 in the morning. So, yes, I'm a little scrambled. Drinking coffee so that it ruins the night's sleep is worse on my brain than smoking pot. I swear to God. All right, we'll see you from both later.
Okay. Thanks for bailing me out. Yes, I got it right in the first part of our QSO, the Wednesday, the midweek Liberty Net.
Yeah, I've been following a lot of stuff. The Supreme Court decision today, then yet another 5-4 decision, so billionaires can determine democracy. That's absurd. You know, a plutocracy. Ukrainian junk I've been following, Venezuelan stuff. Very, very interesting analysis of a frontal between of a fracture in relations between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Turns out Qatar is moving towards the United States and Turkey and Iran, and Saudi Arabia just wants to fund Al Qaeda terrorists in Syria. A very interesting analysis.
that Juan Cole put up on his website today, a Middle Eastern professor here at the University, a professor of Middle East Studies here at the University of Michigan. Actually, quite a lot of other interesting political things have been going through. A lot of stuff. I spent a lot of time with Insomnia last night reading up on the Argentinian economy and have some stuff to say about that.
If they don't bring it up, you could break in and tell them.
Intelligence Oversight Committee being spied on by the CIA while the Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee was investigating CIA wrongdoings in the past couple of months. That's, as Rachel Maddow says, death of the Republic stuff. I did find my survival stuff that I found the other night, so I'll be able to send that out. Oh, yeah, Charles Keating died of the savings and loan Keatings in five people. That is a nice analysis of that. I've read a few places.
Roger.
Oh, a really wonderful BBC piece I read yesterday. A Romanian living here in Michigan now. She's like 50 now, or a little younger than I am now, maybe 45. Anyway, she wrote a really nice essay, How the Secret Police Tracked My Childhood, on the BBC. It's in the BBC magazine, which is the stuff that they use for the form from our own correspondent program and some of their other features. Anyway, very interesting story. But yeah, this latest Supreme Court decision going even further than Citizens United a couple of years ago is really outrageous.
Who did you say was tracked?
Repeat that.
Who was tracked?
Tracked. Oh, a Romanian family. A Romanian family being totally oppressed in Romania during the communist years for a period of decades. And it was this really nice, long, autobiographical essay of what it was like to be a victim of a security state, which Romania was more than just about any country in the world at that time.
Wow. Must have been hell on earth.
I did study up on the General Motors situation last night, which was very interesting. I read up a bunch about Abilify last night, some bunch of articles about Abilify and the dangers posed by people who take that. Very good article about Harry Truman and how he came to become an Israel supporter when he was initially a skeptic of Israel.
Yeah. Abilify is like Geodone, and it's supposed to enhance the performance of antidepressants. And what did the in a short encapsulation? What did it say about Abilify?
Stand by. Let me just read you an excerpt. This is, where is this from, WebMD or Wikipedia? Wikipedia. From I can't read it because I don't have my glasses. Aripiprazole. All right, anyway. Aripiprazole. The British National Formulary recommends a gradual withdrawal when discontinuing antipsychotic treatment to avoid acute withdrawal symptoms of rapid relapse due to compensatory change. Oh, I'm not going to read all of this. But the long and the short of it is that it was very inadequately tested for what it's being used on.
Roger, and its counterpart, Geodone, I think is also, well, I don't know if it has been tested enough, but the side effects listed are off the top, and I think you were mentioning that maybe Mikey or some other people down on the other frequency were utilizing such things, and they should be probably made aware.
Yes, I'm going to be sending out these things that I found later tonight. Yeah. All right, well, I need to give you an hour at least, Holmes. Jesus, I feel very irresponsible here. I need to give you an hour at least, if only to prepare, if not to rest. So I should just pass my 73 and mark. Let's continue this on the telephone in the next couple of days, eh?
Whatever you say. You said that last time, and it's been about 3 weeks. I never heard from you. But that's okay. I understand you're busy. You keep up to date with the text messages.
Oh, brother Marty.
Well, yeah, I almost doubled with you, Kevin. I did double with Des a little. What?
I just said you doubled with him. He didn't hear anything you said last transmission.
Well, he's signing off, and I guess I'll do the same. My voice is starting to go a little bit. I need a drink.
Okay, 73, Marty. It was great to have this QSO, and you could start streaming any minute now since it's after 9 o'clock and the net starts usually before its officially announced time of 10. So might be good to start streaming. I see that KA2YLZ is already in the discussion room. And so 73, good luck in the contest, and QSL via the Bureau.
WB4AIO is now closing down. WB4AIO transmits on an assigned carrier frequency in the 160, 75, and 40 meter bands under the authority of the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. WB4AIO's studios and transmitters are located high in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, with an authorized transmitter output of 1,500 watts. WB4AIO can be reached via kevin@3950.net. This is WB4AIO, now closing down.
A nice way to go. This is N2IRJ, and my CW once again coincided with her, at least in the beginning, but she spoke a little longer this time. 73 all, N2IRJ, clearing out.